Next Chapter Podcasts.
The 500. J.A.M. been walking us down through that 2012 edition, so it ain't nothing to you. Hundreds more to go and in need of a friend. The king of these four, Angelo, talking the 500 until the end. Talking the 500 until the end. With my man J.A.M. on the 500, talking the 500 until the end.
I mean, this title is it sexual? It sounds like they're talking about the guy's doodads. Just by the name, the Naz are blue. What are the Naz and why are they blue? Who knows? It's by the Yardbirds from the 1966 self-titled record, also known as Roger the Engineer. It's also number 350 out of 500 on my show, The 500 with Josh Adam Myers. What's up, guys? I'm in Austin, Texas right now because I'm doing the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. So if you are in Austin, come out and see me. Bam, 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 bam. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is blue. You're a pearl and a confidant. I'm also going to see Korn on Tuesday. I'm excited about that. But if you're in Texas, come and catch me this weekend at Moon Tower Comedy Festival. I'm there until Saturday doing the jam, doing shows. Man, I got a bunch of dates coming up. October 14th, I'm in Plano, Texas. October 24th, I'm in New Jersey. Then I'll be at Skankfest South. I'll be in Cancun doing the JFL Escapes. I'll be in Edmonton. I'll be in Vancouver. I'll be in D.C. I'll be back in St. Louis. I'll be in Poughkeepsie. I've got dates in the weirdest places. Can we get me out of Texas? I feel like I'm only in Texas. Can you guys please request me at your club? Say, hey, man, I want to see Josh in Philly. Hook a brother up. Also join the Patreon. $5 a month gets you everything. You know what it gets you? It gets you to help out this podcast. Help us out, guys. We have a huge staff of 39 people, and we are all so broke that we're eating one bean for dinner. One bean diet. It's not fasting, just one bean. And it's delicious. It's a good bean, but we need more. So for $5 or more a month, join the Fleece Army, man. I'll give you a ranking. Patreon.com/the500podcast. And subscribe to the YouTube. Subscribe. It's youtube.com/Josh Adam Myers. It's mine. The videos are posted there on Thursday. And if you join the Patreon, you get them on a Wednesday. Hook a brother up. Hook us up, hook us up, hook us up, up, up. Another Yardbirds record. How excited are you guys? So this is our second journey with the band The Yardbirds. Truth be told, I dig this one a lot more. And let me tell you something. We might have our Yardbirds connoisseur, our expert, our sommelier of the Yardbirds, the one and only Wayne Fetterman, guys. I brought him back. Why? Who knows? I love him. That's why. I brought him back because I think Wayne Fetterman is one of the sweetest, nicest people I've ever met in my life. I love him to death. Incredible comic, an incredible actor. You've seen him on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He is co-producing Judd Apatow's George Carlin documentary for HBO. We're going to talk about that. And he's got a new book called The History of Stand-Up from Mark Twain to Dave Chappelle. The guy is a legend. He is the sweetest person in comedy. Rate, review, and most importantly, subscribe to The 500 and listen free on all platforms or anywhere you get your pods. And if you're listening on Apple, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. Follow me at Josh Adam Myers on all social media. And for all tickets, go to joshadammyers.com. Email the podcast at 500podcast@gmail.com. Follow the Facebook group, The 500 Podcast with Jam. And for all things 500, go to our website, the500podcast.com. Well, here it is. Number 350 out of 500. Roger the Engineer by the Yardbirds. What's up, Fleece Army? Before we get into the pod, I want to take a couple of seconds to tell you about our new sponsor, Keeps. Now, you understand what it's like getting older. because I know a lot of you are probably around my age, late 30s, early 40s, some of you in your 50s, some of you even in your 60s. And when we were in our 20s, we had thick, luxurious heads of hair. Well, sadly, you get older, you get some, I think it's called DHT. It starts fiddling with your doodads. And next thing you know, your hair gets thinner and it starts falling out. Don't worry, we have a solution. There are only two FDA-approved medications that can prevent hair loss, and this company, Keeps, offers both of them. I have actually been using Keeps before they became a sponsor, about a year and a half ago, right at the beginning of the pandemic. I started noticing, because I had COVID, I started noticing my hair getting a little thinner. I started noticing that, yo, so I need to do something. So I started getting the pills, I started doing the drops, and let me tell you guys, my hair has never looked better. It's a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. They offer super convenient virtual doctor consultations so you don't have to go anywhere. The medication is delivered straight to your door every 3 months. Treatments start as low as $10 a month, and packaging is real discreet so you can keep it on the low so nobody has any idea. Now, if you've tried other hair loss treatments without any success and you think this is going to be more of the same, just check out the customer testimonials. Listen to me. I'm doing it. I don't lie a lot, but I don't lie when it comes to hair, man. This is a big deal for everybody. You know what I mean? It's tough to go from a thick furry to a light scurry. You know what I mean? So if you want to, go to the customer testimonial, see quotes from real people and before and after pictures on their website. So if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to KEEPS.com/JAM500 and you get to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/JAM500 JAM500 and you get your first month free. KEEPS.com/JAM500 And now back to the pod.
First of all, well, who dropped out? Who dropped? Why am I doing this?
Nobody dropped out.
Nobody dropped out. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to Fetterman.
I swear to God, nobody dropped out. Do you understand how hard it is to book the Yardbirds? I got to a point where I was just, they were like, well, we could get Jerry Cantrell. Nope, he can't do it. Well, what about this guy? And they're like, he can't do it. And I was just like, just get Fetty Wap back on. Like, okay, he's too much fun. We're going to have a blast. And that's all that matters.
Have a good time, yeah.
All right. So let's just do it. Let's do it. All that, what we just did is done. That was the perfect intro. It couldn't get any funnier than that.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I love it.
If we would have tried, it still would have been
perfect.
Half-ass. And also, we have to fill an hour after we've already filled an hour.
I'm good. There's so much stuff I want to talk about. I'm loaded.
Oh, well then here. So like, all right. So just so everybody knows, we did a record a month ago.
Yep.
Having a rave up. That's before this one, right?
Well, yes, that is, this is a studio album. Yes. This is Jeff Beck. Yeah. That was Clapton, but there was some Beck on, it was Clapton on side one and then Beck on side two, mainly live stuff, right?
Wait, I think it was vice versa.
You're right.
Beck on side one and Clapton on side two.
Right. It was Beck on side one, Clapton on side two with live Clapton, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there were things that we loved about it. There was things that we definitely agreed on, some things that we disagreed on. We found out that you hate Gregorian chants. Why are you so anti-chance, dude? Because we're going to talk about him because
there's a couple weird things on this one too. Yeah,
but that was number 355. Which one is this, Adam? Is this 350?
350.
Oh my God, we've done 150.
So this is pre. Oh no, I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm an idiot.
The numbers mean nothing. The numbers.
I got it.
Did you see that? Did you see the Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest songs? They just re-released that.
No. And what's number one?
Adam, pull it up for us because we got to fill time.
We don't. I have a lot to talk about.
I know you do, but this is. I like doing this organic stuff because I want somebody right now at home, when it's somebody in the fleece army that's been following along for years, to be like, just get to the fucking record. Just get to the song called fucking I Can't Make Your Way. Just get to I Can't Make Your Way. Please talk about that. All right, what's number one, Adam?
Still scrolling down here to get.
Come on, man. You're supposed to be quick with all this.
Oh, yeah, they do it that way. They do it in the backwards order.
Yeah. I think number one, let me guess. I think number one.
What's going on or something?
No,
like that.
It's not. It's something. It's, fuck, dude. I know number six is Get Your Freak On by Missy Elliott.
Yeah, okay. I understand what's going on.
That's in the top. All right, what do you got, Adam?
So number one is Aretha Franklin, Respect.
Respect, okay. Yeah. A cover song, by the way.
Right, who sang song. It first?
The guy who wrote it.
Jimmy Boom Boom.
No. Like a famous. All right, I'm an idiot. First of all, I'm super tired. I was in Reno last night, so I'm like,
what were you doing?
Jet lagged. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You don't need to know. Don't need to know.
Otis Redding wrote the song.
Otis Redding. There we go. Dock of the Bay.
Really? Otis Redding wrote
that? Recorded it before she did. Yep.
Otis Redding has become one of my favorite artists of all time. There's a live whiskey. Otis Redding, three nights live at the Whiskey Go-Go. It's some of the best. It's like I put it up there with Sam Cooke live at the Harlem Square Club for top live records that I've ever listened to in my life. I wish it was on this list because I would love to do a deep dive on it. I've listened to it 40 times.
Right. But he wrote that. Yeah, I know. I for some reason, his name just blanked. But he wrote and recorded that song before she did. And then she obviously did the definitive version for Atlantic Records.
Ah, all right. What do we got?
That
Adam?
Is a good song. That's a good song.
Coming in at number two is Public Enemies, Fight the Power.
Okay. All right.
Peter, put it in post. Kick it. Oh, come on. Get down. That's a great song.
It is a great song. Is it the number two song in the history of songs?
No, but I mean, let's find out what number three is. What's number three?
Let's just...
Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come is number
three. Okay.
But that I think was number one before, but we don't have to verify that. I'm almost positive that was like number one for a long time. All right, what do we got at number four?
Oh, wow, we're still going. I love it. What?
Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's a kind of old school Rolling Stones song with Rolling Stone in it.
Right now, we're four for five, which we kind of agree with. And now what do we got? What do we got?
Our number five, it's Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, that is. I actually do agree. That is.
Okay, we are four for five. That's what I meant. So I got my math.
You like that song, right? You like that song.
How can you not? How can you not?
Man, that was when that album is so good. And I love the inside, the music when Dave and they talk about it. They talk about how the secret of that album was that all of those songs are very simple, almost childlike songs done in this style of like loud soft.
Yeah.
And that was like that was the key to it. It was like, oh, I never even imagined that was the key to the success of that album.
I would love to get your opinion on this because I talked to Papa about this last week. I had Tom Papa on. We did Neil Young and Crazy Horse, Russ Never Sleeps. And there's that famous line, is it better to burn out or to fade away?
We
got into a deep discussion about how would Nirvana be Nirvana if he lives?
Yeah, I think so. I think really? So. Again, it's completely subjective. Who knows? It's an impossible question. Thanks for asking it. No one knows what an alternate universe is going to look like. There's too many variables. Having said that, I just think that album was so huge when it came out. That it's still, but yes, I do think the early death did solidify the legend. No question. 100%. Right?
All right. And now coming in at number six, Adam, tell us.
You got Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
Well, of course.
Oh, okay,
of course,
never mind. It's not number six.
Yeah.
Number seven was the Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever.
And wow, that's the top Beatles one now. Interesting, number John Lennon.
Infamous Get Your Freak On.
What is that doing in the top 10 greatest songs ever? Nothing against it. Dude, Missy, if you're listening, I know you're in the Fleece Army. I know you love this show. Missy, I'm not trying to shit on you. You and Jermaine Dupri and Timbaland have all written to me and said how much you love the 500, how much you love and miss Morty, and how Adam is doing his best. And how everybody kept saying, they were the ones that, Fetty, that were like, we want more Fetterman. We want a Patreon episode of just you and Fetterman talking and walk. And I just can't believe that song is in the top 10. Top 10.
I don't know. You know, this is, can I just push back a little on that?
Push.
Slightly. Because obviously I wouldn't, but This is just a absolute 100% perfect example of time marches on. That's all it is. Just time marches on. And like a lot of people, that's an old song for them. That's an old like classic song that they made. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Is that's what I'm saying. Just try to wrap your head around that a little bit. And yeah, of course, it seems like, yeah, why are you talking about that song amongst the Bob Dylan songs? But it's all the same. It's all in the same wash at that this point.
I remember when that came out and I was a private party DJ. So I DJed at middle schools and high schools and bar mitzvahs. Right. And if you see my set,
this is before the restraining order, right?
Before the restraining order.
Before actually, the ankle.
That was when it was in the injunction period. Oh, when okay. I was able to.
When did the anklet thing come on? When did
that was in 2006. That was okay. In 2006 before I moved out here. I cut it. I just said, you know
you
what?
Did?
I'm on the lam. I'm leaving Maryland. I'm out of state, they can't get me.
Right.
I cut the breathalyzer from my Jeep, and I still got it. I got it framed right here, gold plated, bronzed. I'm going to give it to my kids. We'll pass it down through generation after generation. That and the Billboard number one single award for "Get Your Freak On" remix featuring Public Enemy. It's just I remember when that came out, and I was like, oh, this is like drum and bass. This is a British music that. You know, it was very popular in the dance scene. That's very dark. And it was actually the rave music that I really identified with. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's really cool because it's biting off this DJ named Ronnie Size and Ed Rush and Optical and these really big British DJs. But it wasn't anything that revolutionized the wheel. It wasn't anything that was like, this is so trend setting. It wasn't even number one for that long. I'd love because we got to get into the record. We've already spent 8-9 minutes on this. And so Adam, what I want you to do is I want you to find out the statistics on Get Your Freak On of like how long it was number one, all that stuff. While Wayne, who's done all the research on Roger the Engineer.
I have a lot of tangential research is more what I have.
Okay. Well, so for me here, I'll give me and then you give yous. Because what I think is this is the record that made me say, I like the Yardbirds now. Now I really like them. Now I really dig what they were doing. I think they made, because I saw this written as a psychedelic record. And I was like, this is a blues album. Through and through, there's some psychedelic elements, but in my opinion, this is a blues album. I think.
What about the chanting?
Oh, we are gonna get to that, dude. We are.
Well, the first couple cuts of this album are incredible, right?
Incredible, yeah.
Incredible, yeah. They come out of the gate strong, and then somebody steps on a shoelace, he stumbles into the bass player, and it all kind of unravels. The first two are really incredible. I'm ready to talk about it. But first of all, the thing is, this album was never released in the United States. So I'm from the United States. This is an English album. Maybe 15 years ago, they put out a CD that I highly recommend because it has the mono mixes and the stereo mixes and the single. But yeah, it got released in the United States under a different name, not as Roger the Engineer or anything.
Yes. Like. So I've got, this is what I've got. The background is this. It's originally released in the UK.
Yep.
This is the only UK studio album and third US record. It was released in July on both sides of the pond, 3 days apart. This is all right. So are you sure about that? What you just said?
Because just keep reading.
This is the only Yardbirds album that contains Jeff Beck on all tracks and is all original material.
That is true. Right. None of our Jewish friend doing it. Graham, whatever that guy's was. Yeah.
Oh, Heifendorf. What's his name again?
What was his name? I can't remember.
Graham Gano. He's also a punter for the Washington football team. The band led by Ralph and McCarty skewed cover material, writing the entire album themselves. They were allotted a whole week to record the album. And according to Dreja, resulting in a crammed, eclectic mix of blues, hard rock, here you go, dude, monkish chanting, and African tribal rhythms. Mm-hmm. Beck's guitar lines were a unifying constant throughout. Over, Under, Sideways, Down, and Jeff's Boogie were recorded earlier in a 2-day span in April. and then it got the nickname and eventually became the semi-official title Roger the Engineer due to the drawing on the album cover done by bassist Chris. I keep thinking I'm gonna fuck his name up. Dreja, am I saying that right, Wayne?
I think so, yeah.
So of audio engineer Roger Cameron on the UK release, the US release got a boring cover with the band on it with two members shown sideways.
Right, right, right. Yeah, so it's not called Roger the Engineer. That's all I meant on the US side. And it's a slightly different track listing for the US. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was something, if to everybody listening at home, if you're listening to this on Evil Lord Spotify, just to let you know, it is very confusing because there's like nine different versions of this record Spotify. Adam, who does my research for me and kind of lays it out, when I sat down to do the work on this and do my notes and everything, I was like, wait, this isn't, I couldn't find the version that we laid out on this. So did we go by the US version or did we go by the
UK?
We went by the US version, but I did leave the two tracks that were on the UK version in there in case you did want to talk about them.
Okay, good.
Oh.
Do you have the statistics on Missy Elliott? Do you want to read them?
So it, let's see here. It reached number 7 on the U.S. Billboard.
Yeah, it's not even a number one.
Songs. Number 3 on the U.S. Hot R&B and Hip Hop. Number 19 on U.S. Mainstream Top 40. It was certified platinum.
Do they give you like a little read? Like, do they give you a write up of what they say about why it's number 6?
8. I think it was 8.
Do they say anything?
I've got to go back. I was looking at the chart numbers. Now I'm going back to the Missy Elliott capsule on here.
All right. Well, here, while you look that up, because this is going to be the underlying focus of this episode, get your freak on and pull out your notes. Pull out your notes. What do you got? Cue cards? What's on your cue cards?
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week. So pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
So you tell me, what are your thoughts on this? What'd you like? What'd you didn't like?
Well, let's go track by track. I like Jeff Beck. What I really like about this album is the tour they did in the United States, that by the end of the tour, Jeff Beck is out of the band and Jimmy Page is in the band. It's an incredible story of, and when they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in a little place called Cleveland, Ohio, Beck is still upset. Jeff Beck, I know people think of the other Beck. Jeff Beck is still upset. He's like, you guys kicked me out of this band. Hey, why the fuck did you? Like, during the acceptance speech, it's one of my favorite in the moment. Pull it up,
Adam. Find that right now. I have to watch Jeff Beck throw a fit. Do we have it?
It's going to take a while.
It's going to take a while. Poor Adam. Poor Adam having to deal with me being like, look up the statistics on Hey Ya by Outkast. All right. So, but do you know why they got kicked out of the band? Why did he kick them out?
Well, there's a number of different stories, but basically he was a bit of an F up and he kept missing rehearsals and shows. Kept missing shows or was drunk and... Yeah, and they had Jimmy Page. It was the double guitar whammy lineup. And by the end, Jeff Beck was like, they kicked him out of the band, and he was gone. And then Jimmy Page took over that band and 2 years later turned it into Led Zeppelin. Kicked out the other members and turned it into Led Zeppelin. Literally, Led Zeppelin's first tour was called the New Yardbirds.
Really?
Yes.
Were they doing stuff off of Led Zeppelin 1?
Yeah, they were doing stuff off of Led Zeppelin 1. Let me just give you an example. I know it's not on this album, but this is the last Yardbirds thing on this list, right? So
I think it is. Adam, I feel like we're going to have 9 more in the next 2 months. Stay ready, Wayne.
Anyway, do you know the song Dazed and Confused?
Of course.
Okay. So Dazed and Confused, a showpiece off of Led Zeppelin 1, was played in the Yardbirds with Chris and all of these other guys, including, and I know this is going to blow your mind, the violin bow section.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So the whole Led's, you know, that was all started with the Yardbirds when Jimmy, after Beck gets kicked out, after obviously Clapton quit, we talked about that last time. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, it's just ridiculous, the music legends that came through this band. And then he took over the last dates called the New Yardbirds that were done. Peter Grant was their manager, and then he kicked out those other guys, so they quit, and then he brought in Plant and, you know, John Paul Jones and John Bonham, and that's the start of it. But he was playing Yardbirds showpieces like Dazed and Confused, by the way, called at that point I'm Confused. As we all know, Jimmy Page stole that song from a guy named Jake Holmes when it was called Dazed and Confused. Jake now gets some credit on that. But
you know that that was one of my favorite little like hidden Easter eggs in F is for Family, is because Bill is such a huge Led Zeppelin fan, but he obviously knows how much they stole and how they're known for that. And so
they call it, that's English people call it nicking.
They nicked it. They nicked a lot. But like, he literally, there's a band in my character's record store. There's a posters for like a band that looks like Led Zeppelin called Lifted Riffs. Yeah. Perfect. So thinking about all this stuff you just said about the Yardbirds and them being like this, I don't know, like a training ground almost for guitarists. I mean, who they had? They had Beck, Page, Clapton. Do you think this band is overlooked for its importance?
No, I don't. I think it has the right importance of it. The problem with this band is their lead singer wasn't a great singer. I hate to say it. And even his sister admitted it. And I think that held that band back a little bit. But if you watch their live performances, they're such a fun rave up kind of like kids going crazy.
Yeah.
Early prototype hard rock. You know, music, even before like MC5 and all of this is mid-60s, you know, so they were a real, I feel like they were a better live band than maybe studio band, but I like their stuff. It's just, I don't think, this is the irony. You ready?
Yeah.
I don't think they were produced great, which is weird because Roger, the engineer, is on the cover of one of their things. And I don't know if it was engineered that great. If you listen to the way... If you listen to Cream or Jimi Hendrix, which, you know, are the next
or Led Zeppelin
and then Led Zeppelin to, you're like, oh, this is how you produce this kind of music. So they're great. They're great. But yes, I think they're a step below those guys. I don't know. What do you think? You know, the Cream, Hendrix, Zeppelin sound.
I mean, if you talk about all of those bands and then you say, well, they all came from this band right here. I mean, then obviously you have to realize how important they are. This is a train that, you know, this was like, I'm trying to think of something that was like that now. I mean, it's something that keeps popping in my head is like Wu-Tang, just because Wu-Tang started as this group and everybody went off and did different things. Mm-hmm. Nobody really blew up to the point where, like, you know, Eric Clapton level or Led Zeppelin level.
What about
level
that band?
Menudo?
Yes, of course, Menudo. No, the one, it was like a boy band, but then one of the guys, like, blew up.
NSYNC?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So, all right, so, like, let's do NSYNC. Let's do NSYNC because that actually...
I think NSYNC is more popular than the Yardbirds were.
NSYNC was... I mean, when NSYNC dropped, dude, it was... Yeah. I mean, that was when I was... the restraining order was off. I could DJ middle schools again. When I was out there, and, dude, you would play Bye, Bye, Bye.
Right,
and
that sounds
everybody... Yeah. And you still play that now. And people would go crazy at a bar. And if you played when their second or third record came out, the one with Pop, I think it was called Pop.
and it was like there was a song called Dirty Pop, and I remember I just you put that on, and it wasn't a very good song, but it's just people were just in love with those guys and girls. It wasn't just the girls, like everybody danced. Maybe the guys were just dancing to it because the girls were dancing to it, but right. You know, out of everybody that blew up, only really one has a career that's still focused in music, and that's Justin. Like JC didn't do anything really. He had a solo record that was whatever. Mm-hmm. Lance Bass kind of became this gay icon. The other Joey is now like on every Impractical Jokers cruise, and he's the nicest mm-hmm. guy ever. I've hung out with him a bunch. To all the Bonfire listeners, he's my homie. I've been getting a lot of flack. We had a lot of deaths recently, and I had to put up a lot of posts about how I knew all these. I knew Michael K. Williams from The Wire, and I spent like 3 months partying with him in Baltimore, and when I told Big J. Okerson about it, he was like, "Of course you know Michael K. Well, of course you know everybody. If Ozzy Osbourne died, you'd be like, oh, that's my homie." And I was like, "So they're all razzing."
So maybe it's not a great example. You know, it might be. And I'm just floating this out, and Adam, you can jump in too. It might be that they're just unique in the history of music as this sort of breeding ground that gave us all these. They were popular. I mean, you know, they were a popular band. They just weren't. They weren't the Beatles. They weren't the Rolling Stones. They weren't. They were a level below.
But here's what's funny is that even with all this amazing talent, we can criticize this music. Like you can say it's not produced well. You can see the flaws in this music. Whereas when you listen to Led Zeppelin, you're almost like, this is perfect.
This is
a perfect sound. They figured out how, like you said, dude, you said it perfectly, where it's like they figured out how to record this music. This is before all of that. So let's even say this, maybe if this album is produced a little bit better, who knows? Like maybe these bands don't break up. Maybe they actually, the Yardbirds become this enormous band. So Led Zeppelin doesn't have to be Led Zeppelin. And
again, I think I really like this band. I felt like the lead singer, and there was a little too much harmonica solo, especially when you have Clapton, Beck, and Page in your band.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear a lot of harmonica solos.
Yeah, this isn't Blues Traveler. Suck it in to dinner in Berlin.
And look, there's a little harmonica in Led Zeppelin, but it was like a little bit with Robert Plant put in there. Yeah. So I would say those are the big reasons I think that maybe that, and maybe they're just before their time. Maybe it's one of them, because they're sort of blues, like you said, and they're a little psychedelic. And of course, they're monk chanty.
Very monk chanty. Before we get into
the way, that's the name of my new blog, Monk Chanty.
Monk Chanty.
Oh, you remember it.
How can you forget, man? How can you forget? Who do you think influenced them? The Yardbirds, and this is the other thing too.
Oh,
it's like,
that's
why do
a
they,
great question.
This is,
oh, I know. I know. This I do know. This I do.
Go ahead. Who do you got?
This is because they're from, like, this is England. And during the war, we talked about this. A lot of soldiers came over from the United States, and a lot of those blues records and early rock records really became very popular in London and in Liverpool in particular, because that's where the guys got off the ship. And so they were into that music. And this is another thing about the blues in England, and I'd love to have your thoughts. Like, is there anyone more white than English
guys? People? No. Why are they so good at making blues music?
It's insane.
And maybe I said this the last episode too. I think it's the weather. I think it's the sadness of the moors,
the fog, the
unlove that they get from their parents because their parents are so prim and proper, you know, and the drunk dads and the, you know, and the mom making porridge again. And, you know, I mean, this is what I just assume. I assume they're all living in Middle Earth. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're dealing with orcs and
thing. There's a girl selling flowers. Maybe she could turn her into a princess.
They have a landlord named Mr. Scrooge that, you know, he's an asshole, dude. He's got a Christmas goose and they don't have it.
Right. Exactly.
They have to eat like, you know, something very like weird, like the feather of a dodo or something.
So you're saying it's not a coincidence that Dickens is from there.
I think in Britain, the reason why you get artists that feel and it's emotional music, and the reason that somebody, because the blues comes, as we've talked about, blues comes from the hardships that that the Black America faced, you know, right outside of slavery and coming out of that, and then like trying to deal with the South, which you can only fucking imagine what that it's bad now. Can you imagine what it was like in like the 1890s or the 1900s when blues is being developed? And so I don't think, like, listen, these white guys, they're not facing those kind of hardships at all. But man, like when it's sunny for maybe an hour a week, and you know you're dealing with typhoid and polio, and I don't know. Help me out here, guys. What other things do British people deal with? Like World War One,
bad dental work.
Yeah, bad dental work. Nazis, bombardments. You know what I mean? Yeah, I can't believe I said
you're
Nazi.
Living in a monarchy and a democracy at the same time.
It's a feudal system. Like it's hard to get out of that.
There's lords.
Yeah, people want their tax. You know what I mean? It's tough, man. You're eating like, you know, cow organs in a bag, like Little House on the Prairie. It's Little House on the Prairie, but more refined.
Yeah.
So that's
I know we talked about it before, but I love bringing it up because it's just so funny to me that these guys just supercharge the blues in such an incredible way.
So incredible.
And there's nobody more pale and white on the planet Earth than those
British people.
Fucking guys in Manchester.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you can't fucking listen. I love the British. My mom is obsessed with the British, and my mom was going to ever have a lesbian experience, 100% it would be with Dame Judi Dench. If my mom was going to mash sniz, she would do it with Dame Judy.
Really?
Oh my God. I could just imagine my mom.
Not
being like,
Julie Andrews. Not.
No, my mom is obsessed with Are You Being Served and all of those shows. She's fascinated with her British heritage. And cause we're like 33% British and then the rest Russian Jew. And she doesn't identify the Russian Jew. She only identifies the English. And I'm fine with that.
I have a little bit of that. I like the English culture.
It's fascinating. It is fascinating. Incredible. And also the way they identify with music, like I spent a few months in England working for BBC Radio 1. I did an internship when I was in college there. I don't know how I got it. I signed up for it randomly. And it was this incredible, like 2 month journey. I was there. And you would go to like the Virgin, like mega stores, or they have this like record store. And you would take like an American record store and then a British record store, and the British record store would have the raconteurs like everywhere, like Jack White's music. But you go to the American record store, and at the time it would be someone like, you know, Missy Elliott or Beyonce, but it was just, it's real rock and roll. Like rock and roll will never die in England. It's definitely changed the style, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's still like they appreciate bass, drums, guitar, vocals. They appreciate that music. Whereas in America, it's like, it's fleeting.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
Hey you, did you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends, Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Every time they say it's dying, though, there's always, it seems like it makes a comeback. But you might be right. I mean, it's
who's bringing it back right now? Who? Greta Van Fleet?
When you say it like that, no. When you say it with such disdain,
I love them.
I know they're a little Zep knockoff band. I don't know.
I know.
We'll see. We will see. Okay. I know Green Day just sold out a little place
Dodger
called
Stadium. Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. So. The Ravine. So it does all right. And I think
old bands. You're right. Old bands will never
die. That's an old band.
I went to go see My Morning Jacket at Forest Hill Stadium, completely sold out. Incredible show. I'm going to see Korn in like a week, and that's going to be sold out. And then I'm going to see Slipknot. Like there's bands that started in the early 2000s and in the late 90s that are still rocking. I mean, Christ, the Rolling Stones are going to sell out, Rose Bowl
Stadium.
But
that's a nostalgia. That's a whole different thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. There's not a new band that's coming out. They're like, this is the band you got to check out.
But But I'm saying every time they've said that rock and roll is dead, there's always been kind of a new guy. It hasn't happened yet. So this might be it. This might be like
I'm curious to see who it is. It's the global warming of music.
So do you want to go this track and track, or do you want to talk about this tour? What do you want to do?
Let's do some tracks.
Okay.
All right. So we're going off of the United States release,
US. I was doing the British. Okay.
You want to do British? We can do British.
No, they're close enough. The first two tracks are the most important anyway.
All right. So Lost Woman. That's what I got first. The James Gang covered this song in 1969. This has a bluesy bass riff.
Yeah,
I loved this song, straight up blues track. And then because we learned about it in the last episode, the ending is a rave up.
Double time, baby.
Double time. Thoughts on it?
The riff is great. The riff is just so catchy.
Yeah, very catchy. Then it goes into Over, Under, Sideways, Down. Now, this is the interesting track. According to Yardbirds drummer Jim McCarty, the basic outline for this track was inspired by Bill Haley and his Comets' Rock Around the Clock. Rock Around the Clock. Why can't I talk today? But I actually think Rock Around the Clock is better. The group had heard Haley's song on the radio after a gig and considered adapting it in their own style. At a later recording session, guitarist Jeff Beck started by playing the song's bass line, and the group were soon working out an arrangement. Beck then switched to lead guitar and came up with the intro. McCarty recalled, "We needed an intro, and Jeff peeled one out. An instantly recognizable peel that completely took us by surprise. Over and over, we listened back to that line, going back and forth over whether it belonged in the song. And then like a flash of lightning, we realized that it did. More than that, it made the song."
I'd like to hear it now just to see if I can hear any of Rock Around the Clock. Here's an interesting little tidbit about Rock Around the Clock, which obviously... was in that movie, The Blackboard Jungle, and sort of kicked off all of rock and roll in 55. One of many songs that kicked off rock and roll, but in a huge way, is that famous guitar solo that he does in Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and his Comets, he does in an earlier Bill Haley song the exact same guitar solo.
Really?
I don't know the name of that song, unfortunately, but you can look it up. And it's great. It was like, oh, this is note for note, the same. It's incredible. It's incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, here's the funny thing, too, is that wouldn't you think Rock Around the Clock would be in the top 10 greatest songs of all time?
Yeah.
It's not. I wonder what number it is.
Oh, well, the fight's got to be something. It's so influential.
Find that out. Adam's doing his job. He's killing it. I love Adam. Huge Adam fan. Play the intro. Hey! 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 All right. You got Rock Around the Clock? You got that pulled up? Yeah, play that real quick.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock, we're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Break the glad rags on. Join me high.
The rhythm for sure. Like that's the same drum section that like boom cha doom.
I said 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock, rock my band, then do a ski ba doo doodle doo. Hobbity boo and in your shoe, you're gonna rock kind round, chaka doo 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 ding boom diddle doo diddle doo diddle ding boom diddle doo. See?
I hear it. I guess I do. I mean
they bit. They bit a little bit. There's nothing wrong with biting. They were influenced by Bill Haley. Bill Haley's probably taken over the world with that song. It's probably one of the biggest songs out there. All right, any thoughts on this one? Because I found out this one is ranked, Rolling Stone magazine ranked this song number 23 on its list of 100 greatest guitar songs of all time.
Oh, guitar songs. Interesting category.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this single became the Yardbirds' fifth single to reach the UK top 10 chart, mm-hmm. where it peaked at number 10. And in the US, it reached number 13.
Yeah. No, it's really, again, it's Jeff Beck is a very creative, experimental guitar player. I mean, besides being having his own greatness about him, he's just, he has a, yeah, that's why.
Is he top five? Legend. Is he top five guitarists of all time?
For me, no, but.
Top 10?
Certainly top 20. Certainly top 20.
Okay, top 20. Who are your top five?
Here's just off the top of my head, this may be in no order.
Okay.
Jimi Hendrix, Edward Van Halen, Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton, and God, who would be the fifth? Who would be the fifth? I don't know. I'm going to go David Gilmour.
Okay.
I like that's that my list. How about you?
Whoever did the solo to Beat It, whoever did the solo that's to Black Eddie Cat Man. By Janet Jackson, whoever did the solo in Down Under. I don't even know that's a guitar solo, the one that's like and then of course Slash.
Oh, Slash, yeah.
Slash is my favorite guitar player of all time just because his solos are so hummable. Like the two, there's two solos in November Rain that are both like a minute and a half long.
And
it's like when you see them live in concert, you're just like, it's almost like singing the song along. You're just like, I can hum it now.
No, Slash, this is what I love about Slash.
What's
and
that?
He's like right on the bubble. He would be in the 6 to 10, obviously, is the simplicity of his setup gig. Because so many guitar players have this floorboard where there's 30 pedals and they're always kicking their pedal, you know, clicking at that idea. And he's like, oh, I have a Les Paul guitar and I'll plug it into a Marshall amp. And that's my sound.
Yeah. Man, he's the best. He's the coolest. He's got the hat. He's got everything that you need in a rock star, the long hair, the cigarette dangling, the post heroin addiction. I mean, man, it's
and
just
he's so, I'm going to use the word tasty. I feel like his guitar solos are so tasty.
Ooh.
I love him. Love him to death. Seen him many times. One of my, absolutely. Yeah.
I always, what I love about Slash is that he's always dressed like a rock star. Like, I don't ever imagine him wearing like Lululemon. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if he goes out of the house, he's wearing a leather vest, leather pants, maybe a t-shirt that's got some holes in it.
And doesn't he also do the cigarette that he puts in at the top of the guitar? Doesn't he also do that?
Yep. Oh, that's the coolest.
Smokes the whole thing. Incredible.
So the British version of this song was rechanneled, aka splitting a mono mix into a fake stereo mix.
I don't know. I thought it was just I thought they remastered it because it was a mono mix, and then they broke apart the part and they put the drums and bass on one side and the guitar and the vocals on the other.
Listening to this on headphones, I remember it being quite interesting. Great song. Great song. What do you got, Adam?
Fake stereo is basically you just take the one track you recorded and just split it, and it's the same on both sides. That's fake stereo, basically.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's what this is. I think it's rechanneled the mix of it. Because I've heard it, and it's people are upset about it because they're like, oh, I don't like this. Like, oh, now I can really hear the instruments. It's a different... Anyway...
Good song. Different. Good song. All right. Great. Next one I got is I Can't Make Your Way.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I thought this was good, but just kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Then there's Farewell. This song appears to be about suicide.
Or the lyrics Jeff and the last.
Yeah.
Jeff
do you
Beck
have
leaving the band?
Play. Do you have Farewell, Adam? Play 104.
Friday sadness began to creep upon me like the deepest sleep. It seemed that only I could see just what my world would finally be. On Sunday back
inside my room. I draw the blinds, 'tis afternoon.
So then what we have is Hot House of Oma.
Oh yeah, Gar I do like this song.
Adashid.
I do like this song.
Wait.
You don't.
No. This goes against everything that we talked about in the last record. This is chanting.
Yeah.
This is a lot of chanting. Play 18 seconds in just so I can prove to Fetty Wap.
No, because this is emotional. I remember this.
Dude, that's chanting, bro.
I don't know. I feel like it was more ya-ya-ya music, Beatles style.
Beck's lead guitar differs noticeably between the two mixes. These two tracks were included in the UK release on side one as tracks 3 and 5, respectively, which bumped Hot House to side 2 on the UK release, but not on the US.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. Epic. They were on Epic, right?
Epic, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not Epic? They were just on Epic.
that was the setting. It was... Yeah, it's a little thing on the stereo. You put it like awesome, incredible, or epic, or the three. Like they're basically just EQ bands, but no one knows that.
No one knows that
EQ settings would have been better.
Why do you like this song, and yet you don't?
I don't. I was mistaking it with another song. Sorry.
Okay. How about this? The Nazz are blue.
Yeah, that's a blues song, right?
This is a straight blues song, done very well. The ending is phenomenal. This track, little known fact, features a rare lead vocal performance by Sir Jeff Beck.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep, he's
okay.
Singing, man. And he sings it well, too.
Right.
Really, really well. Then I've got Rack My Mind. Same thing, just some good blues.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Jeff's Boogie.
Yes, that's the one.
This is the one. Yeah. Do you want to hear a little bit of it?
Of course. Mary has a little lamb in the last solo.
Yes. So this, and this is so funny that it's, we found this fact, because the second I heard this, I was like, wow, this sounds like a complete and utter Chuck Berry ripoff. The song is loosely based upon Guitar Boogie by him.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this is a great song.
Well, I just, I'm trying to think of the guy named Scotty Moore, who is Elvis's guitar player. Like, all of these English guys loved those rockabilly licks that Scotty Moore used to do. I feel like this is a complete, and Beck is incredible at this. And I don't know if you've seen him play guitar. A lot of times he does not use a pick. He uses his fingers.
Wow.
So it's like, he's just on a whole different level, this dude.
Whole different level.
But him doing that Scotty Moore stuff is, I can't get enough of it. More Jeff, more. But he, you know, he does, if you listen to him, he later goes into jazz fusion, all of that, blow by blow. He didn't like it. I was like, no, play this 50s stuff. It's incredible.
I know, but that's the thing with certain artists, man. Yeah. I think that's probably why he wanted to start breaking away and start going into his form, the Jeff Beck band, because he's... Because like Toll, my friend Toll Wilkenfeld, my homie, she tours with him,
right?
She tours with him, and they're doing that. If there's that famous clip of him like jamming with her, and then he like looks at her, he's like, go do your solo. And it's just a jazz rock, like, you know, fusion thing. It's just, it's crazy. It's an incredible solo. If you've never seen it, Fleece Army, listen, just type in Toll Wilkenfeld bass solo and you'll blow your mind.
Yeah. People always, whenever I see bass compilations, they always cut to that one or just like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Speaking of
what?
Tasty.
Ooh.
Her solos are incredible.
Tasty. Tasty cakes.
Just a lot of just nuance, great funk.
Yeah.
And she's like isn't she from Australia or
she's
something?
From Australia. She was discovered by Prince when she was 16. And then she's been playing with famous people ever since. Great life. She's incredible. Got a great little studio out in the valley. She's had these epic, it's so cool. She's had these epic jam session birthday parties or like little get-togethers at her house where like Jackson Browne will be on piano
and like her band will be playing and she's on bass, and they'll have like a drummer like Vinny Colaiuto will sit in. And one of my favorite memories was Jackson Brown playing keys and one of her band, her guitarist Owen on guitar, and then this, I think Vinny on drums, and then Tall on bass, and we did Helter Skelter, and I sang it and had a great sound. We really gelled together well. And then afterwards,
what are the lyrics when you get to the, just say them, you don't have to sing them.
When you get to the bottom on the back to the top of the slide next time.
Wait, when you get to the bottom, that's the,
what I just make them up, dude. I don't know the real lyrics. I mean, I make up, if I know it phonetically, I can sound like I'm singing the song perfectly. But it's because all you gotta do is just have confidence.
The back of the bottom of the side of the top of the.
I go.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the side. Next time I stop and I go for a ride. When I get to the bottom, I'm
gonna hear again. How about McCartney's vocal? Right?
Oh, he, dude, if you, Oh Darling.
Oh, yes, my fave.
That's McCartney at his bluesiest. Yeah. We do a great cover of that. But I remember afterwards, after I sang Helter Skelter, I'm out in our little patio area, and Jackson Brown came out, and he's like, dude, you are a monster. Like, man, just your voice. And he's just like, oh, God. It was so great.
That must have been one of the best days of your life.
It was up there. You know what I mean? It was up there. Like, you know,
give me a better day. Give me a better day. Give me a better
right
day.
Now, going over Roger the Engineer with Fetty Wap.
That's sarcasm. Keep going. Let's
all right. He's always there.
Yep.
Thoughts on that? You want to talk about it?
Because I want to hear it.
Oh, you want to hear it? All right. So here, play. He's always there.
You're looking my way. That's good to see. Well, how I'm thinking. Is it really me? You're giving me something.
Okay, I get it. I remember this. Yeah. Yeah, this is another example of Roger the Engineer not doing a great job.
Roger the Engineer dropped the ball. Turn into Earth, very Gregorian. No thoughts on What Do You Want and Ever Since the World Began. I really don't. I mean, there's a couple tracks I probably could have left off. I think you could have ended it into Turn into Earth. That would have been a nice way to end the record. Nothing wrong with What Do You Want and nothing wrong with Ever Since the World Began. Just not enough for me to put any thoughts down on them.
Right. Well, I'm the same way. I mean, to me, the album, and I think I like Jeff's Boogie more than you do. But those first two songs of the album are just like they set a bar, and then every time they tried to jump over that bar, they hit it with their leg or they nicked it with their arm. And it,
yeah.
Yeah. But still, again, this is just one of many, many albums they have.
Yeah.
And it's I know a lot of people think it's their best album. And I do love the Jeff Beck's creativity on this album.
I couldn't agree with you more. Like I said, compared to having a rave up, this is far better. The songs flow a lot better. It's original material. So you're at least like, okay, they're writing. I give it out of 5. I give it a 3.
Yeah.
3.1. 3.1 out of 5. I'm going to start doing that,
And if you're
Adam.
Especially interested in the history of British and early psychedelia, what is the word? How do you say it? If you're interested in that, yeah, that's all in there. And just the huge Guitar Hero explosion that's about to happen over the next year. Can we talk about what happened in 1966 when they toured behind this album a little bit? Because it's...
No, please.
There's so many things that happened. It's incredible.
Tell us, because I don't know.
So it starts out with Page and Plant doing the double... Excuse me, not Page and Plant. Page and Beck doing the double Guitar Hero thing. They come to the United States in the fall of 1966. And they go on, are you ready for this? Hold your hat. the Milton Berle show. You can see this clip online. Milton Berle introduces Milt from vaudeville. Mm-hmm. Mr. Television, Mr. Tuesday Night, is still holding on an ABC show in the 60s, trying to, you know, reach the youth culture, brings on the Yardbirds, and they do that song, Happenings. I'm going to read because I can never, Happenings 10 years time ago. And it's, they're miming it. What is it when they lip sync to the song? What do they call that?
Mimicking. Yeah, lip syncing.
To the track. But yeah. You can see the band is there. Beck is there. Paige is there. And they are about to go on a nationwide tour with Dick Clark's Caravan of Fun, or whatever it's called, Caravan of Stars, across the United States as the third act. You know, remember when rock and roll had many acts on their shows? Mm-hmm. Like there would be like eight acts or something like that. So they're the third act on the show. Headlining Jerry Lewis's kid, Gary Lewis and the Playboy. They had a big hit with This Diamond Ring. Number two on the second headliner on the show, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. Do you know those guys?
No.
Do you know the song Woolly Bully?
Of course.
That's them.
Okay, good. Then I do know them.
That's their song. So that's, they have Woolly Bully. They also had this very cute song when I was a kid called Little Red Riding Hood. I'm sure you've never heard of it. And then the Yardbirds. So they did this tour. During the tour, okay, Jerry Lewis's kid is the headliner. He gets drafted and has to go into the Army. So
way different times.
I know. He has to go to Vietnam. So they get replaced by Dino, Desi, and Billy. I know you don't know this band.
I don't know them, no.
That's Dean Martin's kid. So in a way, the Yardbirds opened for Jerry Lewis's kid and Dean Martin's kid on the same tour. And that's the tour also where Jeff Beck leaves the band or gets kicked out of the band. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible fall of 1966. Huge tour, and then Paige takes over the band, and that becomes Led Zeppelin 2 years later.
Adam has the Hall of Fame clip. Show us
that
one.
Oh, he does.
Okay. Yeah, let's see that one now, because I got to see this.
Yeah, I have done other music after the Yardbirds, but anyway, somebody told me I should be proud tonight, but I'm not, because they kicked me out. They did. Fuck them.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a lot worse.
I know. It seemed like it was kind of funny at the time, but even his first thing, like, I did a lot of music after this band. Don't define me by this.
I mean, I thought it was going to be like, fuck you, you go fuck yourself. Roger the engineer couldn't mix for shit. You're all a bunch of bullocks. Shove it up your wangzuki.
Okay,
and
then,
and now they're going to go play, and it's... let's see. Do I have any good facts that I think are good? Let me take a look, because you already just did the whole thing.
I love that band. I just love. Oh, can I give you one final thing from that tour of 66 that you might blow your mind?
Hit me, dude.
Before they join, I can't get my head around it. Before they join Dick Clark's Caravan of Fun or whatever, it's Caravan of Stars, they go and do a couple gigs back east, one of them at the famous Staples High School. Do you know about Staples High in Westport? Staples High is this legendary high school where these two kids were like, we want to bring rock bands to our high school. And the guys are like, yeah, you can bring them to your high school. You can't charge more than $3. That's the thing. So everyone can.
What year is this?
66.
Okay. So, and $3. $3 is like, you can buy a car for $3.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was so they bring the Yardbirds. Opening is Steven Tyler's band pre Aerosmith. This is when Steven Tyler meets Jimmy Page. Actually, like, I'll be your roadie, and brings his equipment on stage, the whole thing. Steven Taladero, or whatever that guy's name was back then. And then of course, loves the Yardbirds, as does Joe Perry. And they open most of those Aerosmith shows doing the Yardbirds Train kept a rolling.
No way.
That's from the, So, yeah, so that was like a great kind of a convergence moment at a Staples High School in Westport, Connecticut.
That's so cool.
Cream Doors played that school. Cream played that school.
How is that? What do these kids go on to do with the rest of their life? Do they become like the next Billy Grahams?
I don't think so. You mean Bill Graham? Billy Graham was a
televangelist.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, same thing. We all knew who I was talking about. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just, I love that like that moment happened and that the Yardbirds, and I know we're kind of making fun of them and the engineer and all of that stuff, but they really is a direct line, not only to Led Zeppelin, but also to Aerosmith and playing like in a guitar band. And I don't know if you, what you feel about Aerosmith, but I'm
I love
huge.
Them. Yeah, I love them. Yeah. I don't want to miss a thing. I love, I should be in a fucking Aerosmith cover band.
Yeah. Is that Love in an Elevator?
That was Love in an Elevator. Yep. How could you not tell, dude?
Do you want a little bit of Fetterman trivia?
Hit me.
I was at the video shoot of Love in an Elevator, and I'm in the crowd for that video.
Find it. Find it right now. Right now. Pause it. No, we have to. Wayne, we have to.
No. I actually haven't watched the video in a while. I don't know if you can see my face, but I was definitely there. And here's the thing is, you know, they kept lip syncing it over and over and over again. And then during one break, they were like, let's just play a song. We got the band here.
That's cool. What'd they do?
What song did they play? Train Kept and Rolling.
No, they didn't. This is like, of course, you're only coming on for the Yardbirds. I'm never having you back for any other band.
That's all I know about.
That's all you know. It's like you're doing all the offshoots. You'll do Led Zeppelin. You'll do a Jeff Beck record, a Faces or whatever.
Faces.
We're going to do a whole Patreon episode on Roger and his bad production.
I can't believe it. I wonder if that guy's still alive.
No, God no.
Wayne Fetterman making fun of me.
He's such a huge fan of yours, too. He's a huge fan. He loves Pistol Pete Maravich. Loves.
I think that's a great way to wrap this whole thing up, right?
For sure. All right. Well, then I got to ask you the questions. You ready for some rapid fire?
Yes. Yeah, let's do it. Let's rapid fire.
Favorite song on the record?
You know, I'm going to say Jeff's Boogie. I know it's just a rock and roll and he's just doing those licks and stuff. I would say that's my number one. And number two is Lost Woman.
Okay.
I really like that song even more than Over, Under, Sideways, Down. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, favorite song on the record.
Maybe Turn Into Earth.
Okay. I respect that. What song, this is the question that you hate, but you know it's coming. What song on this record would you fuck to?
Why?
Because how uncomfortable you get. That's why.
I don't know. I'm going to say Hot House of Omagarshiden.
Okay.
Because it has the word hot in it. And maybe it'll help me maintain my record.
Who knows? Who knows? Don't worry, dude. I ask everybody this. I ask Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks's wife this. Right, I ask Neil deGrasse Tyson this. Everybody. All right. Now, this is a newie because it's this record. You've done two of them and you've had your back for the second time for this. What album is better, Rave Up or Roger the Engineer? And I'm going to even throw in a third one, Fly Like an Eagle, because those are the three records you've been on.
Well, in order, are you ready? Here's in order. I'm going to go Fly Like an Eagle.
Number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two is going to be Having a Rave Up. Because, I really like I'm a Man. I like those old, the cover songs they did. I just do.
Yeah.
And I feel like you got a sense of like what that band was like when they were at the Crawdaddy Club, trying to step into those huge shoes that the Rolling Stones left when they, they're like, all right, we can do it too. They did it, that kind of thing. So Roger the Engineer.
I know you like this album. I did like this. What is it about the second that you and I both get on a podcast together, we both get indigestion?
I know. I'm sorry.
I've been burping the whole time.
I apologize.
No. Anytime I sit down to do this podcast. No. Anytime I sit down to do a podcast taping, I'm like, all right, so let me tell you, about the problem with the consistency is
right. Just had spaghetti. Sorry.
I just had pasta too.
That's how I start my day with pasta.
Me too. I eat the same thing. I've had the same lunch every day that I've been here in New York City. Whole wheat pasta, ground turkey meat, a little bit of Rao sauce, and a huge handful of raw broccoli.
Wait a minute. Tell me about the Rao sauce.
You don't know about Rao sauce?
I do know. I just found out about it last year. I love it. And not only do I love the Rao sauce from Italy, it's a little pricier than the other, right? Oh, yeah. Adam's nodding his head also. It's so good that I add it to, you know, I defrost frozen meal, you know, Stouffer's and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like little Italian. And then I add it to it, mix it in while I'm, in the microwave. And it enhances everything. Tell me how you came across it. Everything.
I went to Gelson's one day when I started cooking for myself, and this nutritionist was like, you need to start eating like whole wheat food and turkey meat. So since I'm such an addict, I just was like, okay, I'll eat it every day. Mm-hmm. And you try other sauces and they just are crap compared to Rao. Rao's is literally like you're in a restaurant. I've never grown tired of it. I've never once been like, I don't want to eat this. Every time
Regular, or do you get it with the, just like a.
The sensitive marinara for people with weak stomachs. No, dude, I do regular marinara. Sometimes I've gotten the arrabbiata Aurora Borealis. And then sometimes I've gotten tomato basil only because they're out of it. I haven't done anything else besides those three, but it's without a doubt the marinara. I just put a dab on, so it's not too much. I add a little splash of water to break it up so it covers the pasta. Mm-hmm. And dude, I mean, I remember because my sister is the one that would get like Prego. And the funny thing is my sister has money. She's a fucking doctor and her husband's a lawyer. And they're the cheapest people I've ever met in my life. It's like they're feeding their kids like crap processed food. And it's like you can't eat processed. My dad always said it. Spend the money on things that you're going to eat. You're going to use a lot. And it's like, if I'm going to have this sauce every day, yes, you can eat for $40 a week if you want to. I'm eating for almost $40 a week for lunch and breakfast. I mean, it's nothing. The only meal that I pay for is dinner. And that's because every night I'm at the comedy clubs when it's time to eat dinner. So, you know, I usually go to the Stand or I'll do the Cellar. The Cellar has good food.
Cellar doesn't give you a free meal?
They give you half price.
Half price, okay.
But I mean, you get a chicken Caesar salad three skewers of chicken for, for 16, not even 16 bucks. That's with a tiramisu. It's like 11 bucks. And then I get a dessert. I get a tiramisu almost every night.
Can I say where we differ once again?
Where do we differ?
I don't put a dab of the Rao's.
You put a lot, don't you?
I drown it. Drown it. And I would never cut it with water. That's insane to me.
It's not
Adam is shaking his head. I would never think of cutting it with water.
It's not cutting it. It's my mom taught me to do this. It's so
diluting.
It's not even dilute. I guess it is diluting because it's so chunky and thick of tomatoes and delicious stuff that you got to just, you want to like, dude, I'm not, it's like, I can't, if I smother.
Fetterman style.
If I go Fetterman style,
yeah,
I'm wasting money. I get through like two or three meals.
I can get
six meals out of it. Just I mean, and
now
when
you
I
are say, related to your sister, I get it. I get it.
It's not a dude
trying to stretch the dollar.
I'm trying to, dude. Yes, I am. I guess I am. I am trying to stretch the dollar a little bit, but it's like you don't need a lot, dude. Just a little bit of snake oil. Just a little dab of
that, and that's where we differ. Okay. I just drown it
and that's why your indigestion was
of course
you belched five more times than I did today.
I apologize.
Last question. I would say gotta go fly like an eagle number one.
Okay. Yeah.
Then I would do the engineer, and then I would do Raybo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like this one. I really like this record. You know what's funny is this, you don't think, because I listened to that last one and I was like, okay, I was like, God, another Yardbirds record. We got so much cool stuff coming up. I got like Depeche Mode coming up. I got Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell. I've been listening to those in advance just to prep.
Yeah, and that's going to be more your,
Oh, dude, Depeche Mode is like,
oh,
so good. Violators.
Speaking of I guarantee Roger the Engineer wasn't involved with that record. That sounds
not at all.
Incredible, right?
Incredible, yeah. Roger got was out of the game by that point. Roger,
can we look up his credits, by the
yeah,
way?
Because he pull up Roger the Engineer.
Cut two, he engineered Dark Side of the Moon. You know. After all of this,
he did the Titanic soundtrack. He did Appetite for Destruction. Exactly. He did Hootie and the Blowfish. Crack right. The mirror.
Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You.
That's hilarious. Speaking of that, my friend, you might know her. She's a comic in LA named Katie Carrizola. She's really, she's probably around our age. Super fun on stage. Mm-hmm. She's doing comedy that she quit for a while. She's back into it. She's a great host, runs a great show at the Laugh Factory. I became friends with her during the pandemic. Her husband is the guy, he's a producer, and he produced a lot of Celine Dion. He produced a lot of Neil Diamond. And one of them, I think he did My Heart Goes On. Like he's got fuck you money, but he's the nicest guy. And I met him at a right. show. And it was just so cool. His name's like, I'm going to say his name's like Armand. It doesn't make a difference. Let's look up Roger the Engineer.
So for Roger the Engineer, the only other like notable name that jumps out at me that he worked on was, where is it? Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Okay.
The Works, Volume 1. And then again for Emerson, Lake and Palmer, The Return of Mentecore.
Nah.
Okay. It's interesting. I'm sorry.
He did nothing.
Think it's funny that he's the name of the thing, and like that's my big criticism. But
I guess it's good to know that how cool is that though? Look, they drew a picture of him.
Right.
They named a record after him. He's now on the cover. Legend, right? A legendary album he's that's in legendary. The 500 greatest albums. It's not on the new list, by the way. This record.
Neither
is
one
not
of them
on
are on the new list. There's neither no Yardbirds on the list.
No. Yeah. No, it's not. But Get Your Freak On is.
Of course.
And also we found out, Adam put this up. This is for everybody listening. If you've been listening through the whole episode, Rock Around the Clock is not on the 500 greatest songs of all time.
Yeah, I could. Well, look, I mean, the time marches on.
Time does march on, man.
Next thing you know, it's like, Give My Regards to Broadway isn't going to be on that list anymore.
I doubt it's on that list anyway, dude. That's definitely not.
Well, certainly Take Me Out to the Ball Game is on the list, right?
Finish out the top 10, Adam. Do you saw that list up?
Let me go back.
I'm having too much fun. I don't want this to end.
No, it's good. It's good.
Just, we should, dude, you should come on regularly and or just be my co-host, because you're just the greatest person in the world, Fetty Wap.
Thanks, man.
I'll be honest with you. You know who canceled? Do you want to know who canceled?
Yeah, I do.
Jeff Beck.
What?
Jeff Beck, dude. We had him. And then he was like, we didn't have him.
I don't know. The reason I would believe that is just because you're friends with his bass player. I would think you were in that world a little bit. Can I tell you one of my favorite Jeff Beck band's songs?
Sure.
It's a cover song that he did. You know, remember we were with Rod Stewart and Ronnie Wood a little bit when he was like that band?
Faces, right?
No, before Faces. Yeah, this is before Faces. And then it was just called Jeff Beck Group, I think, in the band. The album's called Truth, and there's a song called I'm Not Superstitious. Uh-huh. It's an old Howlin' Wolf song, and I don't know. Hey, I would love to go out with that. I just think you would love it.
All right, well, do you have anything you want to promote?
No. I mean, it's History of Stand-Up, the book from Mark Twain to Dave Chappelle. That's it.
Are you going to Moon Tower next week?
I don't think so. Will you be there?
I will be there. I thought because I saw they're doing something with the History of Stand-Up there.
Yeah. I think that's Rich Scheidner is doing something with that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, you want to play a song and then we'll be done?
So just to give you the top 10, number 9 was Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to round out the top 10, and then Outkast's Heya.
Oh, okay. It's a different kind of vibe.
Different vibe. But you know what wasn't a different vibe? This one. Perfect episode. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. I love you, Fetty Wap.
Let's listen to this. I know it's a slow intro.
I love it. I ain't superstitious.
got a black cat crossed my chair.
This is great. Is the whole album like this?
That's the best cut on it, in my opinion. But that is pretty good, right?
That's great. Dude, so thank you for coming on, dude.
All right. Anytime.
So, get ready, because you're going to be our fallout guy. We have a fallout. Fetty Wap is the number one call.
All right. Later, gentlemen.
All right. Later, buddy. Thanks again. Wayne, thank you. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Why is it that we both have indigestion throughout this whole podcast? Follow Wayne on Twitter at Fetterman and on Instagram at Insta Fetterman. InstaFederman. And for all things Wayne Fetterman, go to his website, WayneFetterman.com. Make sure you get that book, The History of Stand-Up, from Mark Twain to Dave Chappelle. And keep your eyes peeled for the George Carlin documentary on HBO. Listener shout out, huge thank you to Maria Hernandez at OGMARIA. I've known Maria for a very long time. She came to all my shows in San Diego. She's been a huge supporter of me, the Jam, and the 500. She beefed up her Patreon to help us out because she got a new job. Congratulations. She's working for Amazon. Yay, Maria. Maria. I just met a girl named Maria. La, 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 la. And Chelsea, if you're listening, I will read that voicemail for you because you want me to do it. Oh, God, I should honestly do that. For $5, you join the Patreon, I'll give you an outgoing voicemail message. Let's do it, man. Let's do something weird. I love you, Maria. Thank you for supporting me and supporting the show. At OG Maria Maria. Dig it. Follow her. She rules. All right, guys. Yardbirds. New music. Who do we got? Kaleo. They're from Iceland. They're blues rockers. Just like the Yardbirds, they adopted a sound that wasn't native to them and have gone on to play at Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, and Coachella and were nominated for a Grammy. And you're listening to their song, Break My Baby, off their brand new record, Surface Sounds. Find the links on the website, the500podcast.com. And if you are in a band and you want your music played on the 500 because you were influenced by one of these albums or artists, send us your song. Send us your song. Send us your song to 500podcast@gmail.com and put the album and artist that influenced you in the subject line. Hey, yo, that's my worst Jay-Z. I was trying to do one next week. Yo, it's Jay-Z. Yo. Next week is Jay-Z week. First one, man. First, Jay Zizzle. Hove, as some call him. 2003's The Black Album. It's next week. Listen. Homie. Skomi. Katomi. Stay fleecy.
From you.
You know she loves to fame, yeah. I wanna break my baby, yeah. Hold it down. Well, break it down now.
What's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week, I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
Next Chapter Podcasts.